mini pumpkins. So come on down and join us. This is Tricia Fullerton with the Emporia Farmers Market.
All the latest sports news and reviews, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE. Live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongmontAuto.com. I'm Greg Ray, and we have a full show on tap for you this Saturday morning. Our final Saturday before the high school sports season gets underway in full force with the start of the high school football season next Friday night, and then the college football season next Friday for KU and Saturday for Kansas State and for Emporia State. So a lot of stuff getting ready to get going this next week as we are ready to get underway. But today on this morning show, we'll preview the Kansas State and Kansas football teams with Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, and Brian Haney, voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. And then at the end of our show, a very special portion of this morning, we'll be visiting with Don Lewis, along with her children, Cole and Sherry, as we'll be talking about the induction of J.L. Lewis into the Kansas Golf Hall of Fame. That'll take place this evening at the Emporia Country Club. J.L. Lewis, an Emporia High graduate, went on to play college golf at Texas State, and then on the Pro Tour, won a couple of Pro Tour tournaments, and was a great supporter of golf and a great golf teacher, and he's going to be inducted into the Kansas Golf Hall of Fame this evening here in Emporia, and we'll talk with his wife. Unfortunately, JL passed away a couple years ago, and we'll visit with his wife, Dawn, along with her children and JL's children, Cole and Sherry, about what it means to them to have JL being inducted into the Kansas Golf Hall of Fame, and that well-deserved honor for JL. Well, to start things off, we're going to be talking some K-State football with the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. Good morning, Wyatt. How are you today?
I'm doing very, very well, Mr. Ray. Great to be on with you again, sir. Hope you're having a good what's left of our summer.
Well, it's been warm enough. I'm ready for it to be over with and ready for the feel of fall. Just because football's around the corner doesn't mean it's going to feel like fall to begin with. But I think everybody's ready to be able to. Last year, K-State did play football during the fall, so they did get some games in. Unfortunately, Emporia State did not. So us Emporia State football fans and D2 football fans are finally going to get to get the taste of football back in our mouths after missing out last year. But K-State last year struggled at times, but showed some signs of some hope in the future. And hopefully this season will be one of those seasons that all that hope comes to fruition.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? Because you're right, K-State at least got to play some games, albeit with limited crowds and all kinds of restrictions because of the pandemic and what have you, but at least for the most part, they were out there playing 10 games. Normally, we play 12. And you described it perfectly, Greg. From my perspective, inconsistent ups and downs, COVID issues, injury issues, all of that was a factor. And at times, good and bad play. We did not play very well in blowout losses against Texas and Iowa State. That's pretty obvious. But I think you put the 2020 season into perspective this way, in that you lose the opener at home to Arkansas State, and after an off week, 2 weeks later, you win in Norman. Kind of showed you that there was some ups and downs, and hopefully it'll be a little bit more of a smooth ride this time.
Well, the plus to it all is Skylar Thompson, he's healthy getting ready for the season. The key will obviously keep him healthy throughout the season, but he seems to be a big piece to the puzzle. If K-State wants to have a successful season, he's going to have to stay healthy.
It's really interesting that he decided to come back for his, quote, super senior season. I kind of felt all along that he would probably do that just because of the way his first senior season ended with injury very early. it certainly hurt our team at that point. K-State, as you know, started 4-1, but he was injured at the point that they were 2-1. And then Will Howard, the true freshman, came in and won a couple of games. So K-State went 4-1, but then 0-5 the rest of the way. Well, flash forward here now, and I really honestly believe that, one, Skyler probably rehabbed as well as you possibly could after that surgery. He was every bit of a month to 6 weeks ahead, it seemed, in his progression to get ready to go. And he's probably in the best shape of his life. He's throwing the ball really, really well. I think Will Howard, with the experience that he got last year, good, bad, and indifferent, has made him a better player. He's reshaped his body a little bit. So we feel like we have some pretty good quality depth there. And I think you start with every football team at the quarterback position. It's such an important thing. And with 30 starts under Skyler's belt, you feel pretty good about that, certainly.
And you have some weapons coming back that you didn't know about going into last season, one of them being Deuce Vaughn. Who would have thought that Deuce Vaughn at 5'5", 171 pounds, would have the year that he had last year?
It was an extraordinary thing, really. In my mind, one of the best stories of a really difficult year on so many levels. Deuce is a small guy, but very, very gifted, exceptionally humble, comes from a football family. He just exploded onto the scene from the get-go and never really stopped. He's certainly capable of being moved around, and K-State will do that with him, catching the ball. He can be a difference-making guy running it, catching it, probably in the return game a little bit this year too. I think the best part about it, Greg, going into this season is that we have enough weapons around him now, or at least I think we do, that you don't have to just totally rely on him, you know, to do everything. Because once Skyler went down, it certainly limited what you could do offensively. And in all honesty, mainly just because Will Howard was a true freshman and not really ready to play. But I think with Malik Knowles, with Phillip Brooks, we've got a junior college receiver by the name of Tyrone Howell from Hutch that I think really will be in time a big-time player for us. Joe Irvin, who opted out last year, should help a bunch. Jacardier Wright, another running back, should help a bunch. He's in the best shape of his life and really has had a good camp. So, yeah, there are weapons out there that will help us.
Then the key to it all, for all those skill guys to have successful seasons, it really does boil down to the five guys up front. And with all five starting line or offensive linemen returning from last year, that has to give K-State a huge step forward.
Oh, that's well said. You know, a year ago, we didn't have any returning starters to speak of. Josh Rivas had started a couple of games in the previous season. But, yeah, to have all of those guys back plus more depth, I think, really helps. Coach did reveal on Tuesday of this past week that we have lost Taylor Portier for the season, an offensive guard out of Bishop Miege in Kansas City with a torn ACL. But even with that, Greg, I think this this offensive line is probably as deep as what we've had in a while. I think that Connor Riley, the offensive line coach, and Coach Kleiman both feel like they can be, you know, 8, 9, 10 deep across, and it's been a while since K-State can say that.
As you look at K-State defensively, what's going to be the key to their success this year? What does K-State have? Where do they have to be better this year defensively?
Well, I think it really starts. This will sound a little odd, but I think it starts with their depth. They do not have a difference-making type guy right at the front of the page that jumps out at you like Wyatt Hubert did a year ago. But I think defensive front-wise, they could be better or at least deeper. We have a transfer student from Charlotte, Timmy Horn, who's a defensive tackle who's 320 pounds but very athletic, and I think it says a lot that he's gone from basically the transfer portal to one of our captains. He is an immensely talented player, but he's also a guy who has immense personality, and I think the players have kind of followed his lead. I think he'll be a really, really fine player for K-State. I know they're very excited about Khalid Duke. They're excited about Felix Anudike and Nate Matlack up front. They've retooled the secondary. If there's really a true question about the defense, I think it's probably going to be past the first couple of guys at the linebacker position. Daniel Green is a really good football player. I think Cody Fletcher is a really smart, quality football player that's undervalued by some. But after that, there are question marks because the next guys up are guys like Ryan Hennington, who was a former quarterback, Wayne Jones, who was a former safety. Those guys are linebackers now. So that is really the true question. But I do think they are much better and deeper in the secondary, too. I do have to mention that because you think about Julius Brents, transfer from Iowa, Sincere Mason, who is a safety, Rush Yeast, the transfer safety, who probably will be a starter on opening day against Stanford next weekend. So there are some new faces and some quality faces in that secondary now.
And, of course, K-State does return Jerron McPherson, and that has to be a big plus.
Well, he much like Skyler on the offensive side, he's been around a long time, and this will be his super senior season. And Jerron really has been it's been interesting to watch him evolve, and I'm sure you see this in the Emporia State program. You know, guys that have been there a while that just get a little bit better as they go through their career, and I think Jerron has done that. And, you know, he's another guy that has lots of personality, and the other players, you know, kind of gravitate towards him. And I think he's really, you know, kind of one of the spokesmen of the group now. And it's nice to have at least one of those on each side of the ball. I'll say it that way.
We're visiting with Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Kansas State Wildcats. As Kansas State will kick off their season a week from today. They'll be down in Texas to take on Stanford at AT&T Stadium. As you look at this K-State football team, let me back up a little bit because I forgot the question I was going to ask you, but now I remember. How many guys are having the super senior seasons? How many guys are coming back for their second senior season that are really going to make a difference for you guys?
Yeah, that's a really good question too, because for us the answer is 5. And we've talked about Jerron, we've talked about Skyler. The other guy that should be talked about is Noah Johnson, our center. Noah's a former community college player. I don't know that when you look at Noah, you will see a guy that is the biggest, fastest, strongest guy. But he's such a warrior. He's a natural, instinctive leader, and he's a very smart football player. You know, he came in here and made his way very, very quickly because of his ability. Cerebral, you know what I mean? I mean, he's just a smart football guy. He's a smart guy, period. But he really will be that's a big deal for us. I remember one of the first media sessions of this fall, somebody asked Connor Riley about him, and the question was phrased something to the effect of, how happy were you when you found out Noah was coming back? And Connor, without hesitation, said, "How happy were you when your wife said yes?" I think that puts it into its proper perspective, right?
Yeah. Well, when you look at the schedule, we mentioned Stanford. And the early part of the season is going to be a juggernaut for the Wildcats. After Stanford, you have a couple of non-conference showdowns with Nevada among those, and also a game with Southern Illinois. But to start off, the Big 12 at Oklahoma State, at home against Oklahoma, and then you get a bye week, but then it's Iowa State in Manhattan. That's a tough go to get the season started.
Yeah. You're absolutely all over it as usual. And I guess what I would say is I would challenge you to go through any or all of those preseason magazines you bought, or anybody out there bought, and find a tougher start to conference play than that. I think those three teams that you mentioned are probably going to be three of the top four teams, or at least potentially in our conference. I don't think there's any doubt that Oklahoma and Iowa State are no-brainers in that. So we will find out very quickly, you know, kind of where we're at. But I think we will in the non-con, too. I think Stanford is a winnable game, but it's a challenging game. You know, Southern Illinois made the playoffs at the FCS level last year. They've got a lot of guys back. But Nevada, nobody talks about Nevada, but they're the favorite in the Mountain West. They have a quarterback who many believe will be a pro. So, yeah, there's challenges all over. But the start to league play is the one that everybody notices because, like you say, at OSU, Oklahoma at home, off week, Iowa State at home, pretty tough. That's rough.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't get your thoughts on what's happening to the Big 12 with Oklahoma and Texas bolting for the SEC. And there are all the speculation that's going on, what's going to happen to the Big 12. Just to be able to get into playing games has to be a little bit of a relief because you don't have to worry about, okay, what's going to happen in the Big 12. You let other people worry about that. But that has to be a little bit of a concern, maybe not for the players, but maybe for the coaches a little bit. How am I going to put together my schedule here in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, it really has rocked the college football world, to be honest with you. Certainly more of the quote, remaining eight, I guess, than anybody else. But I think you've seen it affect the SEC. You've seen it affect those three major conferences that form the, quote, alliance with the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the ACC. I guess what I would say is I think we need to have some patience through this. It's not going to be solved overnight. From what I'm told, I think it would appear, at least at this point, that the best avenue moving forward would be for the eight to expand. How big would certainly be the question, and who would be the question. And I'm sure you've heard the same names that I've heard, whether it's Central and South Florida, whether it's Cincinnati, Memphis, whether it's San Diego State, BYU, Boise State, Colorado State, UNLV, and it's all over the map. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do believe that it isn't just about this, Greg. I think, in all honesty, there's so much on the plate in major college athletics now, whether it's name, image, likeness, Title IX, all of this is going to the what's going on with. I'll say it this way, 44 years in broadcasting, I've never seen the NCAA with less power than it has today. There's going to be a lot of things change in the next 5 years, and not just who goes where in this particular round of merry-go-round football, as it were.
Now, it'll be interesting to see how this all unfolds, the ever-evolving landscape of college athletics.
Yes.
That's above my pay grade, and all I get to do is report on it and tell people what's going on. But, White, just for our K-State fans, just give them just your overall impressions of the K-State football team and expectations for this season.
Well, the expectations is an interesting one because I think inside the walls of the program, I think the expectations are certainly higher there than they are from – you know, the media people or whatever that cover the league or cover the country, honestly. I think this team certainly can be a bowl team. Does that mean a 6-win team or a 10-win team? I think that will be the answer that we will strive to get here in the next few months. I'm optimistic about this group because of their leadership. I think they have better commitment than they did a year ago. So I think the fans are excited. I think the fans are excited, too, to, like we talked about in the beginning, to be back at it, at least at this point, full go. You know, when we play our first home game on September 11th against Southern Illinois, we'll be able to sell it out if we can. There'll be tailgating in the east and west lots and everywhere around the stadium, which is so cool for the fan base. So I think a lot of really neat things are going. But I do think this can be a team that can surprise some people and have a bowl season, which would really be cool after, you know, the frustration of last year.
Well, Wyatt, thanks for your time this morning. Have a good week of preparation and have a great call next Saturday.
Well, thanks a lot, Greg. Always great to be on with you, buddy. Appreciate it.
That's Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk as he joins us on the Sutherland's studio line. And when we come back, we'll visit with Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, right after this timeout on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right.
There's lots of news about microchip shortages right now. However, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we have inventory in stock and 40 more vehicles on the way. That's right. We have new Chevy and Buicks in stock and in transit. So if you're waiting for that new vehicle to come in, don't wait. Shipments are picking up, and we can help you pick out yours even before it gets here. Or we may be able to find you one also. Are you looking for something pre-owned? We have a great selection, and we're buying top-quality models every day. Here at Longbine Auto Plaza, we can help you find the right new or pre-owned vehicle to fit your needs. So come in today, and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. So come see us or visit us at longbineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by longbineauto.com. As we continue our preview of K-State and KU, we now welcome in the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, to get a preview of the Jayhawks. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, Greg, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Are you ready?
Yeah, I think we're fired up, ready to go. 6 days out, have back-to-back Friday night games to open the season, so I'm looking forward to it. I haven't called some Friday night football very often for the last few years, so looking forward to being under the lights of Friday nights and seeing who that quarterback's going to be. And seeing what the new era of Lance Leipold football looks like in Kansas.
I know there's some high school football fans who are probably not real happy with KU right now because that's the first night of the high school football season in the state of Kansas. And, of course, you know, if you're a high school football fan, you want to follow your high school. But if you're also a KU fan, you got to maybe put them on the back burner. Maybe put the DVR on record and watch the game later or take the radio with you. That's the best thing to do. Take the radio with you, and you can listen to the KU game. Listen to Brian Haney tell you the story about KU football. And, Brian, for KU football, probably the big story is the new coach. And when you look at the change in the coaching and all that had got through, just to have Coach Leipold back in control and running the show has to be one of those big things, a big relief for KU football fans and for all those around KU football, because it appears that Coach Leipold really has a good plan in place and that he's got an idea of what it's going to take to turn the KU football program around.
Yeah, I think so, Greg. And I think that this really couldn't have worked out better when you go back to the month of March with all of the tumultuousness we were going through with Les Miles and Jeff Long and the exit of both in a span of just a few days, and to see, you know, everything that Jayhawk Nation was struggling through in the midst of that with an uncertain future and rocky waters and all of that, to see Travis Goff hired as AD, a guy that's a KU grad from 2002, a Dodge City, Kansas native who loves this place, knows what it takes to win at this place, values Kansas people, to then have him hire Lance Leipold, who I think, to be honest with you and just be real open about it, had we waited until the end of the next season, I'm not sure Kansas would have had nearly the caliber of coach that they got when they did. It was a strategic move on Travis's part to jump back in, even though it's not ideal circumstances, hiring a guy at the end of spring ball who's not going to get any spring practices. Kansas was the only major conference job open at that time, versus if you wait till November or December of this fall and winter, suddenly you've got competition from 10 other schools, and you may not get a Lance Leipold type guy. So I think his timing was assertive, strategic, and exactly what you want to see. And you get a guy who has been a proven winner everywhere he's coached. You know, the fastest coach to 100 wins in college football history. He did that at Wisconsin-Whitewater at the Division III level, where he was a six-time national champion, six-time National Coach of the Year. He then goes to Buffalo and wins 30 games over his last four seasons there, goes to back-to-back-to-back bowl games, and shows you that in a MAC conference that's ultra-competitive, whatever it took to win in a given year, if they had more running back talent than they had quarterbacks, they'd go out and lead the league in rushing. If they had an elite signal caller and some good receivers, they'd go out and lead the league in passing. I loved his versatility and pliability to change who they were to fit what they had. And the proof was in the pudding with the results they had in the win column. And so he's been a tremendous success. And at 57, still has a lot of time left and a lot of motivation left to prove he can now do this at the highest of levels. So I think it's a tremendous fit. Don't take my word for it, though. FoxSports.com called it an A-plus hire. We saw Pro Football Focus rank him as the number nine coach in the country, not the number nine new hire, not the number nine coach in the Big 12, number nine overall. And that obviously is music to the ears of Jayhawks fans. So it's been great to see the way it's come together, Greg. And we feel much, much better about the ground we're standing on now than we did, you know, about 5 months ago in March.
And then the next question is, I don't know how much you've been able to be around the football team and the program as they've gone through the summer, because fortunately, at the Division I level, you can work with your players during the summer a little bit. It's not a full-blown spring practice or practice session, but you can work, do some one-on-one stuff and do some workouts with your players during the summer. Do you get a sense from the players who are coming back and have been in the program that they're buying into what Coach Leipold is offering?
Absolutely. Well, first off, they had a tremendous summer in the weight room, and we saw strength and conditioning numbers off the charts. The average amount of weight loss per player was 4 pounds of fat, average weight gain, 3 pounds of muscle. We had five players jump up above 40 inches in vertical leap capability before Coach Gildersleeve, our strength coach, got here. We had zero players with a vertical north of 40. So that was a tremendous summer of progress physically. And then you get into fall camp and, you know, it is strenuous. It is, it's a tough practice. It's high energy. It's demanding. It's more structured. It's strict, to quote Kyron Johnson. And Kyron said it's not ever been like this, and yet it's exactly what we need. And that's coming from a 60-year senior guy that absolutely is thrilled to be back and is about to have a career year from a defensive end position, a converted linebacker. And he's played for numerous coaches. He said, we've never had it this strict, and yet I think this is the most productive and effective practice style we've had. And so exciting to see the way guys have bought into that, exciting to see just what a well-oiled, fine-tuned machine his practices are. I mean, there's no downtime. When they take their water breaks, they're not pumping in loud music and dancing around. Their position coaches are right there in their faces, instructing them on what's coming up next and what they just did and all that. And so every moment is a moment for improvement. And as cliche as it sounds, when Coach Leipold talks about getting 1% better every day, that's the approach here. You know, he's not going to oversell and underdeliver. He's not going to have a lot of flash and pop and sizzle. He's just going to try to go out there and outwork you every single day. And the practices and the way he runs them are a great indication of that work ethic and the expectation for the players to bring it that strong every single day. So that's really exciting. And certainly, you know, we'll see the fruits of those labors here in about 6 days. But I know this, no matter how many wins we have in the season ahead, this team is getting better every single day. And they're laying the groundwork for a major uprising compared to what we've seen if they get the continuity, you know, across the board. Because some of these players have had five different position coaches in their career at Kansas. I think now we've got a coaching staff that's here to stay for a while, and the progress we'll see this season coupled with a couple of recruiting classes coming in the next couple of years, I think it's really going to get this thing on track. And firm believer that we got the right guy, and everything we've seen these last few months of the way he conducts his business only further adds to that certainty.
Oh, you mentioned on the outset trying to figure out who's going to be the starting quarterback. Is this coaching staff pretty good poker players? Are they showing their hand yet? Who's got the edge as far as a starting quarterback is concerned?
Yeah, they've done a great job of that. And I think it's something that probably will extend all the way until Friday, maybe Friday night when they run out on the field. And obviously, most coaches are like that, especially when you're a perceived underdog, you know, compared to the rest of your league peers. And this may be the only game that Kansas on paper is considered a favorite, but it is an advantage to keep your opponent guessing. And I think in this case, though, it's genuine that while they may have a little bit of an idea on some separation here in the last week or so, it's been that close between three guys. And those three guys are Jason Beam, the transfer from North Texas who came in with a good amount of hype that Coach Emmett Jones was able to get us, a guy who's well-connected in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. The next guy is Miles Kendrick. You've seen him. Number three, little guy. What he lacks in stature and speed makes up for in heart and toughness. And he's always being countered out and looked past and all that by fans, but he just keeps showing up with his lunch pail to work every single day and stays in the thick of this quarterback battle, and he's been doing that every year of his Kansas career. And then Jalen Daniels, who Brent Dierman, the previous offensive coordinator, was really excited about, and we saw some flashes of his big-time arm and elusiveness and big play potential a year ago, but he was kind of erratic, wasn't super consistent, and then got hurt. He looks stronger than ever. His body is fantastic the way he's built in the offseason. But will he beat out the other two? It's tough to say. I think there have been different moments where each of those three in the last month has looked like the guy. And now as we head down the stretch into game week, I think we're starting to see the cream rise to the top, but there's not a huge amount of separation. So it wouldn't surprise me if you wind up seeing a couple of guys on Friday. I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying it is that close, and they've done a great job of keeping their lips sealed on who it's going to be. But I will say this. I think whoever the quarterback is, based on what they want to do offensively, it'll behoove them if he's a dual-threat caliber quarterback. And there's a couple of guys in particular that I think do that exceptionally well. So we'll see what Friday brings, but definitely excited that the quarterback play has been good enough that competition has continued this long. It's not a matter of, geez, we don't have anybody good, nobody's emerging and separating. We've seen some pretty crisp play throughout that's made this a difficult decision.
What about the weapons around those quarterbacks? Kwame Lassiter, obviously, leading the team last year with catches and receiving yards. He's back. Who else can be maybe counted on or looked upon as maybe one of the weapons that they could use offensively?
Well, you're right to mention Kwame. And, folks remember his dad who played on the Aloha Bowl era of Glenn Mason's time at two Aloha Bowls back in the early 90s. He was a big part of one of those teams. And went on to the NFL where he had an amazing day, a record of four interceptions taken away in one day. To this day, that's still the NFL record. It's tied with 15 other players. But he's since passed away, and his son's carried on a great legacy, in his father's honor at a different position. And, this is a self-made guy who came in as a walk-on who weighed 147 pounds, and now he's built himself into a guy that I genuinely believe could be an all-Big 12 caliber receiver in a conference that produces first and second round picks at receiver every year. So that says a lot about the work he's put in. But, beyond him, I think running back is our deepest position on the roster, at least offensively. And Devin Neal out of Lawrence High School is a guy that Kansas fans love to watch right out the gate. He was the top recruit in the state of Kansas, and he's backed that up in the preseason. He's a football-baseball guy. And he's trying to be the Bo Jackson of Kansas Athletics and do both. We'll see if he can. But Amari Pesek-Hickson, Velton Gardner, they've got a lot of talent at that spot. And we've seen a lot of guys work in. But Devin Neal, I think, has been consistently impressive throughout. The receivers, beyond Kwame, you've got a lot of younger names like Stephen McBride that are ready to break out and some freshmen coming in. Including my favorite name as a play-by-play guy to mention, Magic Rector. Now, he's only 5'9". He's out of Dallas, and I don't know that he'll make a huge impact right away. But, man, that name just rolls off the tongue. Can you just imagine? Deep ball down the left sideline, Magic Rector with the play. Can't wait to get that one flying once he starts making an impact. But I think, honestly, when they air it out, as good as some of these receivers are, and we've got several really good ones. Trevor Wilson's a transfer that's come in, and Luke Graham, you remember a year ago, was flashing a lot of big play potential. I think our tight ends, though, run about as deep as running back does, and I'm excited about what we did at that position with Mason Fairchild and Trevor Cardell and guys like that. So a lot to like with the pass catchers. And, you know, you look at the offensive line, I think there's more depth there than we've had in recent seasons. They've added a couple of transfers, including Tim Grunhard's son, in the offseason that are going to factor in and provide some valuable depth there. And so the offense, if you can figure out the all-important quarterback position, I think has some reason for hope and optimism that they can hang some points on the board and do so with some flash. So we're excited about that. But, again, you got to get it right. A signal caller first. Hopefully they'll make that right call on Friday.
We're visiting with Brian Haney. He's the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. You can hear him on Friday night. This coming Friday night when the Jayhawks open up against South Dakota, and then throughout the season here on KVOE, is he'll bring you all KU football and basketball games when that season rolls around. Let's go to the defensive side, Brian. Where are the strengths defensively for the Jayhawks?
Well, I think that, to be honest, we lost three of our best 5 defensive players to transfer when Coach took over at the weird timing that we lost Coach Miles and all that. That's not on Lance Leipold. That's the state of affairs of college football today, where you can transfer and not have to sit out. And then when you have a late spring coaching change like that, there were some guys, including the freshman All-American, Kareem Plenty, that decided to go elsewhere. We lost 2 of our best defensive linemen, too. But I do think you bring back some anchors that are going to help that defense under Brian Borland be very effective. And that's headlined probably by Kenny Logan in the secondary. He and Jason Gilliam are a couple of young safeties that have all Big 12 caliber potential. Logan especially now in his third season. And you've seen him in the kick return game. You've seen him intercept passes. He's the son of a former Florida Gator standout under Urban Meyer. He's always kind of had that big-time potential. And I think this is the season where, this is kind of his defense to be that vocal leader on the back of the defense. So I'm excited to watch him do that. And, you got solid talent through the middle of the defense. Nick Channel's back out of Wichita at linebacker. I mentioned Kyron Johnson already, who's moved from linebacker to rush in. And that's a position that's required him to bulk up a little bit, but still maintain that elusive and impressive speed that he has off the edge. And so he's very explosive, and I think he'll be a guy that factors in favorably for Kansas in the pass rush. So we got some good talent there, plenty of names I didn't mention, but I do think that it's a club that will look a little bit different after some of the transfers that went out, but we had a transfer or two come in that'll factor in as well. So we'll see what it all looks like here in about 6 days, but I do think they have a chance to be very competitive on that side of the ball.
Well, I guess the key thing that if I were to talk to a KU football fan right now is be patient. It's going to take a while, but it sounds like Coach Leipold is on the right path.
Yeah, I think he really is. And for KU football fans listening today, you're going to be excited when you get a chance to see this guy on Hop Talk, or if you have a chance to ever meet him. Just a man of great integrity and work ethic, and he's going to get out there and do this thing and build it the right way. So let's get behind him and support him. He's been asking me, in the midst of all this conference realignment talk and the uncertainty about the future of where KU might be if the Big 12 were to come on. I'm not here today to talk about the Big 12's future or anything like that, but folks want to know, how can I help make sure we have a stable future, whether that's in the Big 12 or, another conference coming in? And the best thing you can do is to show up to the football games and show that Kansas is viable and supported in football. That David Booth Kansas Memorial Stadium is close to full every time out. And so we want to get you there on Friday nights. And if you're listening today on Greg's show, got a special promo code. If you go to KUAthletics.com and go to KUAthletics.com/tickets, okay, /tickets. And then in the upper left corner, you'll click tickets, and then it'll pop up to receive a promo code. Simply type in home opener, all one word, home opener, and you'll have an automatic discount applied to your ticket for Friday night's game, just as a courtesy for listening here on KVOE, and because we want to see you there. So five of your best friends. Let's pack this thing out. Let's show Coach Leipold we're behind it, and show any other prospective leagues that we support football at Kansas, and we're fired up about our future under Travis Goff and Lance Leipold, and we can't wait to get after it. So KUathletics.com/tickets. Click on the ticket tab and enter that home opener promo code for a special discount just because you woke up early with Greg today.
Well, hopefully you'll have a lot more exciting things to talk about this season with the Kansas Jayhawks as they get the season underway Friday night, taking on South Dakota. The Lance Leipold era will begin then. And if I were a KU fan, which I am, I'm excited about what the Jayhawks can accomplish here during the tenure of Coach Lance Leipold, because I feel like, you know, you get a feeling about certain coaches and the way things might go. And with Lance Leipold, he seems to be doing things the right way. And I'm excited that KU football will have a chance to be successful under Coach Leipold.
No doubt. I'll give you a couple of names that will resonate with both sides of your listening audience, because I got to hear the great Wyatt Thompson before me. I've been hearing a lot of Bill Snyder and Mark Mangino comparisons. Just the way he goes about his business and the way he handles things. And so those are two pretty good names that resonate big time in this state. And so hopefully he can follow in those same footsteps. But there are a lot of similarities in the way he conducts himself. And so I'm excited about that. And hopefully the results will be similar too. But, Greg, thanks for the time. It's always good to be on with you. And we look forward to talking to you in basketball season.
All right. Have a great week of preparation and good luck on Friday night.
Thanks, Greg. Take care.
That's Brian Haney, voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, as the Jayhawks getting ready for their season opener and home opener this coming Friday night when they host South Dakota. We'll take our next break. We'll be back with a visit with Don Lewis along with Cole and Sherry as we talk to them about the induction of J.L. Lewis into the Kansas Golf Hall of Fame that'll take place tonight. That's up next here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right.
There's lots of news about microchip shortages right now. However, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we have inventory in stock and 40 more vehicles on the way. That's right, we have new Chevy and Buicks in stock and in transit. So if you're waiting for that new vehicle to come in, don't wait. Shipments are picking up and we can help you pick out yours even before it gets here. Or we may be able to find you one also. Are you looking for something pre-owned? We have a great selection and we're buying top quality models every day. Here at Longbine Auto Plaza, we can help you find the right new or pre-owned vehicle to fit your needs. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. So come see us or visit us at longbineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by longbineauto.com. And coming up later on this evening, former Emporian J.L. Lewis will be inducted into the Kansas Golf Hall of Fame. And we'd like to welcome in his wife, Don Lewis, his son, Cole, and daughter, Sherry. First off, I know the one thing that everybody wishes that J.L. would have been able to make it to this particular day, but what a great honor for J.L. and what a great way to remember J.L. tonight. Again, Don, Sherry, and Cole, thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. Nice to be here.
Glad to be here.
Well, I know, as just mentioned, we'd all would have loved to have J.L. here tonight to feel the love and the enjoy the recognition that he's going to receive tonight by being inducted into the Kansas Golf Hall of Fame. But what a great way to remember JL for all that he did for the game of golf, and not just for what he did for the game of golf, but just for the person that he was, a professional golfer. But he did a lot to help bring people to the game of golf. And for you, Don, you saw him throughout his career and saw him with the successes that he had, winning on the PGA Tour and all the other successes. But this one would probably, for JL, probably one of the more humbling accomplishments for him.
Well, I tell you, this is really special to have this here in Emporia tonight. You know, growing up in Emporia, we both grew up on the same street, on Prairie Street, and spent a lot of time at Emporia Country Club playing golf and, you know, hanging out in the summer. And so to have this event at Emporia Country Club today is really special. And you know, Emporia is really dear to our hearts. And yes, I'm sorry that JL's not here to receive their recognition in person tonight, but I'm sure he's watching from above and he's very pleased. It means a lot. It's a big honor, and so happy that we're having it here.
for you, Don, did you also play golf? Were you able to go toe-to-toe with JL if he did?
Well, I don't know about the toe-to-toe part, but we did play golf together. We learned to play golf together. Mary Faye Bradley was running the junior golf program at the time. You know, we were like 10, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. So we learned the rules of golf and etiquette and, you know, some really strong values about golf in general during that time. And I like to spend a lot of time in the swimming pool in the summers, and JL would just play golf. He'd just, you know, play nine holes, and then he'd play another nine holes. He just played all day, and I'd jump out of the pool and go play with him once in a while. And so, yeah, we did. I played high school golf, so we've got some strong golf beginnings together. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, Cole, what are some of the memories that you have of your dad? I know just, yeah, you know, watching him play on the Pro Tour had to be a thrill.
It was. It was quite an experience. You know, I was lucky I got to caddy for him off and on for 10 years. So, I was kind of in the thick of it with him there for a good portion of his career. It was pretty cool to really kind of be a part of the action like that. It was fun, but you know, we got to go to the greatest venues the game has and watch him compete against some of the greatest players of all time. And it was, I mean, there's too many to count, honestly, when you're thinking about great experiences. There's a lot, but it was fun, really fun.
For you, what does this mean to see your dad being inducted into the Kansas Golf Hall of Fame?
I mean, it's a huge honor. It's, and he would be very excited about it, I think. And he worked really hard, and I think he's very deserving of it. And it's cool. I mean, we're all just very, very proud of him, and we're excited about seeing everybody tonight and celebrating that with everybody. And but it means a lot. It really does. And it there's so many people that were fans of his, and it's just cool to see, and I know he would love it, for sure. He would love it, especially just to see all these old friends that are going to be here tonight. That would have been his favorite part of it, I think.
And now we'll give Sherry a chance to talk a little bit. And Sherry, for you, what is it you remember the most about your dad, about his playing golf, and maybe some of the other lessons in life that he may have taught you besides how to play the game of golf right?
Yeah, I just remember my dad was just such a great person and so personable, and he would just talk to everybody, and I think about during the golf events that he went to and signing autographs and just really taking the time with all the little kids who wanted his autograph, and just having great conversations with friends and all the people that we'd see at the different places that we'd travel to. And yeah, and I was not as much of a golfer. I had a hard time having the patience for it, but he certainly taught me a lot about golf. And then later in his life as a golf coach, after he got sick, we were really able to connect on working with children, because I'm a teacher and I learned so much from him. about working with kids and teaching and how to be a good teacher. So I'm always just holding him with me in my life and everything that I've learned from him.
I didn't know JL all that well. I did have the pleasure of meeting him a couple of times and interviewing him a couple of times. But the question that came to my mind, you know, I know he was proud of the accomplishments that he had on the golf course. But to me, it sounds like he may have been even more proud of him being able to connect with other players, whether it be young or old, and helping them improve their golf game and just being able to help people become better golfers and maybe in other areas as well.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it was important for him to give back to the game too. You know, he loved to play golf, and he loved that, you know, golf is a game that all ages can play, and it's fun. You get outdoors, you experience nature, and it's a good place to commune with your friends and learn life lessons. And I think that was the thing, you know, toward the end of his life when he was spending most of his time teaching, is he wanted to kind of get the basics of the golf swing out of the way so that the person he was working with could go out and enjoy the game and compete and focus on, you know, what their goal was or you know, if they're in competition, or to just enjoy being with their friends so that they weren't struggling with their golf swing. And he'd always leave them with golf drills to take home and practice with so they wouldn't have to go back and get another golf lesson right away. They'd have the tools they need to improve their game on their own.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Cole.
I would just agree with all of that. I think, yeah, he was really, really passionate about growing the game and loved to teach. And even when we were playing on tour, you play in a pro-am every week, and he was always helping the amateurs we played with their golf swing on the course. And mm-hmm. he was passionate about that even when he was playing competitively. So it was, yeah, he really got into it afterwards, but for sure, even then.
Did he have any of the pros on the tour come up to him and ask him for some tips and some drills and that kind of stuff?
Not as often. they were all pretty good there, and they knew what they were doing. We did have he was always changing equipment a lot, and so I remember players like and he tried everything to see what would work best, and he wasn't scared to put it in play and see if it worked. And guys like Vijay Singh, I remember specifically, was always poking around in his bag trying to figure out what he's hitting that specific day. But it was but not so much for golf swing tips. They all had that part figured out, I think.
They like to talk shop, though. You know, he had certain players like Bruce Flasher, you know, and him like to talk about golf swings and what they would, you know, what their tips and tweaks were that they would do to make themselves successful. And you know, I think there's a lot of the players that have good head. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little tongue-tied there, but there was a few that had the same work ethic that JL did that really liked to practice a lot, and those would talk about, you know, their golf swings with each other and what they were doing and what was working, and especially which clubs they liked. You know?
Again, we're visiting with Don Lewis, Cole Lewis, and Sherry Lewis Ramirez, the wife and children of J.L. Lewis, who will be inducted into the Kansas Golf Hall of Fame later on this evening here in Emporia at the Emporia Country Club. And unfortunately, the tickets are all sold out, so if you wanted to be a part of that, you might have to sneak in, but they might be able to make room for you, but as of right now, it is a sold-out event.
There are a few seats. I bought a table that I've got a few seats left at, and so we may have like five or six. If somebody really wants to come and wasn't able to, they can give Selena Redeker, the executive director at the Kansas Golf Foundation, a call. Let's see, the number there is 785-340-3443. And you can just go on to the Kansas Golf Foundation.org, and the phone number's there. But if you talk to Selena, she can slip you in with the few seats that we can work with.
But this should be a very worthwhile evening, and it begins with a cocktail hour at 6 o'clock for those that have tickets already, and you're kind of trying to remember when all this gets underway. It starts at 6 with a cocktail hour. Dinner will begin at 7, and then the program around 7:30. And it should be a very fun evening and a very enjoyable evening. And as you mentioned already, Don, the one thing that JL would miss the most would be being able to connect again with friends of times gone by and lifelong friends and people who have been supportive of him throughout his career, and just getting together and hooking up with people that are fans of JL Lewis.
Yes, it'll be a nice celebration of his life tonight. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, we all are.
Yep, likewise. It'll be such a pleasure and to be there.
Well, I appreciate you guys taking time out and sharing some stories about JL. We could probably go on a long time, but I know you've got other things that you need to take care of, but congratulations to you guys, and again, congratulations to JL. Unfortunately, he was a part of the class of the 2020 induction class of the Kansas Golf Hall of Fame, and they're able to do the induction this weekend. But it's going to be a fun night at the Country Club. And again, thank you all three of you for joining us this morning on Sports Talk.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I was just one more thing I wanted to mention. If anybody's would like, the Kansas Golf Foundation has a link on their homepage where people can donate in honor of JL to the Kansas Golf Foundation, and the money goes to the golf programs to help kids to improve their golf games, and I'm sure some other very worthy causes, but. Feel free to chip in and donate in JL's honor. I'm sure he would have been happy about that as well.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you brought that up, because proceeds from tonight's event does go to the Kansas Junior Golf Scholarship Program and the Kansas Junior Golf Grant Program. And if you'd like to make a donation, just go to Kansas Golf Foundation's website, and you can make a donation for that there. If you can't make it to tonight's induction program, that'd be a great way to honor JL. It's giving back to the game of golf, and that's what JL was about a lot of the times, is giving back to the game of golf, a game that made his life so enjoyable.
Yes, well said.
Yeah. Well, thank you once again for joining us this Saturday morning. Enjoy the rest of the week. Have a fun evening tonight, and hope you enjoy your stay here in Emporia.
Thanks
so much.
We're so looking forward to it. Appreciate it.
That is Don Lewis, along with Cole Lewis and Sherry Lewis Ramirez, the wife and children, the late J.L. Lewis. Again, he'll be inducted into the Kansas Golf Hall of Fame tonight. That ceremony taking place at the Emporia Country Club. It gets underway at 6, with the program starting at 7:30. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning. I know we're way past the hour of 9 o'clock, but that's okay. Again, a big thank you to Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, giving a preview of K-State football. To Brian Haney, voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, giving us a preview of the KU Jayhawks. And again, a big thank you to Don Lewis, Cole Lewis, and Sherry Lewis Ramirez, and giving us some of their time to talk about J.L. Lewis. We'll be back next Saturday with another edition of Saturday Morning Sports Talk. This has been Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Live and local, AM 1400, KVOE Emporia, 96.9 FM, K245 BQ, Emporia.